You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode, I believe this is 20 of Ethnosynology, and I'm joined by, I guess, friend of the other podcast, but friend of Ethnosynology, Arthur Hulu, also known as Gaius Flavius on Instagram. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I just got home from work here, so we're mopping up the last things off before the vacation. So I'm stoked to be off work for a while here. So
nice. And I don't remember which episode you were. Were you four, five? Doesn't matter.
I was quite early on. So yeah, I think it was four. Yeah,
I got you early. But if you haven't seen that episode, I'll link it here in the description and in the video. Yeah, Arthur is reenactor, not LARPer, but like, read, I guess you LARP too.
I do LARP maybe once a year, so I'm technically a LARPer as well.
Okay. But on the side of being, you know, the, you're thinking about the Roman Empire guy on Instagram, he's also a politician in Sweden. And you're one of my favorite Swedes because you're the only one I talk to on the daily basis.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm good at something at least.
So, how's that? How was work today? What was like the day in your life?
Oh, no, this was more of a mopping up day. We have the midsummer. We're off from work for midsummer tomorrow.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people are not in the office, so I can work undisturbed. I get everything done. So, because we've had all the meetings, political meetings, the municipal assembly and the regional assembly now before the summer breaks. So now it's a mop up operation here to get everything done before the summer. So it's quite relaxing, but also a lot to do. So
yeah,
it's a bit of both.
And what's your exact position?
I'm an elected politician on the municipal level, but I also work as a political secretary on the regional level.
Okay.
So, but I work a lot with politics.
Gotcha. And how does that do for you? Do you enjoy that? Do you want to go further in it, or you kind of like where you're at, or how's that work?
Well, I don't know. Like it's a very interesting job and a lot of important things. But it's the foundation of democracy, having people who actually are engaged in the politics, of course.
Especially smaller government. Yeah.
But I also would like to go back to the private sector as well. And do some real work,
right?
And especially now, where Sweden has a lot of issues facing it on a multitude of levels. So it's a very interesting and important time. So it's a lot of work, but things get better, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, I guess the reason I had you on today, I guess for the audience listening, Arthur and I talk probably every day. Every other day, send each other something.
Yeah, well, a couple times a week at least. Well,
yeah,
if we do, not every day. At least send memes sometimes.
yeah, but he's a prolific memer, or however you want to, whatever the term is these days. Yeah, man, like I send them to my dad, I send them to my friends, people send them to me, and I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. The memes you make are good. So what we wanted to talk about today was like using, you know, Instagram to teach history and stuff like that, and how that works. So like what, I guess for the audience listening, how'd you get started with all that?
The thing is, I have a long background as a memer.
Okay.
I will get canceled now, but I've spent my fair time on 4chan.
Okay.
And similar sites, the Finnish Ylilauta, for example, and all these things. So I have been a memer for many, many, many years, like started when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old, really get into the meme culture. I was also very early on internet and spent a lot of time on internet before some of my friends. And I have friends who were like internet guys too, of course.
Yeah.
But it has been, I've always appreciated the meme culture and the collaborative effort to make humor. Because I think it's when you build something together, it always gets better because you build upon other people's ideas all the time. So it's the free marketplace of comedy, in a sense, because there is really no cost to get into it. Like you can do memes on your cell phone. You can do memes on Paint on a 10-year-old laptop.
Yeah.
It's a very easy way for people to get into what is essentially a very important art form. Because now when memes are mainstream, it's really it's a part of culture. And the global culture as well, because the internet culture is to a lot of extent it's global as well.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I even saw, I forget his name. It's like Britannia or something on YouTube. He's like a travel vlogger. He's English, but he does, I can't remember his name. His name's Callum, but he goes to like Afghanistan or like really interesting places that you do tourism and talks to people. But one of the things he noticed in Afghanistan was like, he couldn't talk to people in their language, but like they could share memes and like laugh at them because they understood the format. And that kind of got them, like, he could get around that way. And it just kind of hit me kind of hard in that way, because I can show somebody a meme in a different language or something like that, and you and I share those too. But like, you can still understand like what's funny about it, especially if someone's like getting hurt or like it's just goofy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a universal language in that sense. So you don't have like a formal degree in like Roman history, right? I think we talked about that.
No, I'm it's a hobby.
Okay.
And I kind of want to keep it as a hobby.
Sure.
As well. So I've never studied history. I read a lot about history. I do living history as well. And I just, yeah. And now with social media, it's an important part of my everyday life, but yep. I'm not a professional historian and I've never studied history at the university.
And I think with an account like yours too, like normally if it's someone just pumping pseudoscience, I'd be like, all right. And I'll like message them and be like, you got to stop. But with you, it's like, it's just basic Roman history and it's like funny stuff. But what's funny to me too, is it's a lot of it's very specific Roman history or like Roman like memes, I guess, that like you have to understand nuances of ancient history or like about the femboy stuff and like all that. And you had one the other day, I can't recall it. That was just like very, like the Teutonburg Forest thing. You have to understand Roman history obscurely to like get some of that. And it's funny to me when I see them pop up on my feed, how many likes and shares they have. Cause it's like, oh, other people know this joke too. Yeah. And then you had the whole, like, you know, does your boyfriend think about the Roman Empire thing, which did that give you a significant boost? I think
nope.
So.
No. Cause I was very detached from the meme.
Okay.
I was just the catalyst for making it an international trend, but it wasn't my face in the reel. And I think we talked about this in the previous podcast, where it's the interaction has nothing to do with me, because it's usually then a woman asking their partner this question. So right. I'm out of the equation. So it's the meme was never centered around me as a person.
Did your page see like a significant increase in following though after that trend, even if you did it?
A little.
Okay.
But I've had like reels that had given me more followers than that entire trend.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It helped, but it was marginal.
Do you feel with your, sorry if I'm just pounding with questions, but like with the niche that you're in, where it's like Roman and kind of classical history in general, because you do Carthaginian stuff too here and there, like does that kind of pigeonhole you into like what you can do for memes, or does that make you more creative, do you think?
Well, I do focus on the classical antiquity, because that's what I have been doing and that's kind of probably what people are following me for. I might branch out and I do a meme about Saladin and the Crusaders, or the conquest of the Norman conquest of Britain, or sometimes I branch out a bit when I get an idea, but I try to narrow myself down to classical antiquity basically give the people what I have promised with my earlier content. And I don't mind doing other historical periods. And there are a lot of interesting themes that are going on. And actually also a lot of, since memes is basically about human nature, you can replicate them in basically any time period, unless they're tied to a very specific incident or a very specific person. Right. But I try to, so I have no problem with branching out. And sometimes I do, like, especially when I do these like theme weeks, when I had the Indian, I had like a theme week where I did like a week of only Indian history memes.
Yeah.
Then it was very broad from like the time of the Roman Empire up until a lot later.
And that was that pretty fun for you to do like a theme week?
Yeah. And it was because then I know the basics of Indian history, like I know kind of what happened and all the invasions and the empires, and then of course the colonization from the British, but I have never actually delved into the specifics of Indian history. And I wouldn't say it's like it was an eye-opener, but it's so many interesting things going on for such a long time. And also you understand, okay, why is modern India, why does modern India look like it does? So you learn things. And also I got some new Indian followers as well. And they're like, they're not, well, they might not be interested in the Roman history too much, but it's an exchange, of course.
Yeah.
They learn some Roman history. I learn some Indian history. We get to know each other better.
Nice. And I also noticed, I think Mondays, it's like your Q&A day.
I changed it to Friday because I have too much to do on Mondays. So okay. Some Mondays I didn't have time to answer all the questions, especially if I get like some weeks I don't get too many questions. But if I have a lot of traffic to my page, I can get 100 questions. And then I have to filter them out and then make fun answers. And I have to have some serious questions. I have to have some goofy questions as well.
Right.
So it takes a lot of, it's just like, oh, you can just answer the questions. Yeah, but I want to put some thought into actually answering the questions to make it either informative or entertaining. But yes, I have the Q&A every week.
Does that get you a lot of engagement too? Do you think that helps?
No, I don't think it actually boosts my engagement too much, but
it's building, I guess.
Yeah, it's more of a community building. And also some people send me ideas or like, oh, have you ever been to this place? We have a lot of Roman history. And I'm like, okay, no, I've never been to this specific Greek island. And then I looked at Greek island up and it's like, oh yeah, well, that's super interesting. So I get a lot of feedback as well in the questions. But some question are, I get like, who is your favorite Roman emperor? I get three of those questions every week.
It's Nero, right?
So, what?
Do you like Nero? I can't remember your answer.
Yeah, no. Trajan and Vespasian are usually my go-to answers.
Right.
But it can depend in the mood as well. And that can change over time, also depending on like what, because they had different qualities. All the emperors, of course.
Yeah, that's very true too. So. You're the only page I see that does this, but like the weekly recaps or something. Is it a monthly recap of memes?
Yeah, it's a weekly. I forgot about that, like the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks even. Because it's always, I usually do them on Monday, but Monday is like when we have all the meetings at work and everything. And especially in the spring, it's quite heavy workload as well.
Right.
With the budgets and everything going on. So it's sometimes I forget them. But it's a good way also for me to recap them, because that's a way I measure my success on the reels. Like how, so I remind myself, I check the statistics. So the weekly recap is not only for, well, it has a lot of good things coming with it. For I remind myself of which ones performed well and which ones didn't perform well. It's also a reminder to, since I post every day, some people maybe don't check Instagram every day, so they might miss some of my reels. So it's a reminder to them as well to, okay, well, I missed this one. This was fun. And it's also a way for me to like, okay, look at them a second time. How can I improve this, or could I have done this better?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of different reasons for me doing a weekly recap, but I think it works well.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question. Do you think it works? Is it worth your time?
I just share the reels. That's like the least amount of time I put into anything I do with
that's
my
true.
Account.
So it's, yeah, you just share it to your stories, right?
Yeah, I read the likes and they're like, okay, this one performed quite good. So quite well. So that's nice. Or, oh, this one, you guys didn't like this one. That's too bad. Or, oh, this one went really viral. Oh, it's a good theme. So it's, So.
Right.
It's more of making mental notes as well.
Yeah. What I find most interesting about like doing the meme stuff, because I try not to be a meme page, but they're just so easy to do and they're funny to me. And especially with how like hyper-specific some of mine can get about like anthro or like dog history or Ice Age history. And the amount of people that like it and share it, because they all like it, just it amazes me how many other people get that same humor or find it funny, because it does teach. And then you do get the people in the comments that will either be like, actually, and say something, or they, one of my favorite comments is when someone explains the meme, like why it's funny, and then other people like it, which just seems lowbrow to me, but I get it. Like, yeah, I don't know. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, sometimes, but sometimes they misinterpret the meme as well. So I don't know. No, but that's also the way I kind of, I didn't start out as a meme page.
You were a reenactment page, right?
Yeah, it was just reenactment photos from events, or my Skullikon, one of our members in the group, because he was my neighbor back then, lived 2 blocks away. So we went out and had these photo shoots like once a month. And it was, the idea of the account was to be a shopping window, so people can be like exposed to the hobby, what we do, so we could maybe get members to join. But then it kind of, reels became a thing. Mm-hmm. And I started doing it, and I noticed that, well, the memes perform very well. And I'm like, as I said before, I have a lot more experience in memes,
right,
than I have with like reenactment photography. I would say maybe I've done more memes than I have read Roman history to some extent as well. So that's my, well, then that's the thing, that the way to get, find your niche is that you combine two things. If I can combine Roman reenactment or Roman history, classical history, with memes and do it well, because I think, as I said, I'm not a scholar, but I know my basics in classical history, and I'm a very, what do you say, proficient memer.
Yeah, I would say.
If I can combine those, well, that's a recipe for success, I think. Because I think that's a thing that people miss, that, yeah, you can be, you want to do one or more things. You want to find your niche consisting of more than one thing. Because if you're, yeah, if you're a fitness influencer, okay, a lot of people do fitness. You're going to have a hard time being the best fitness influencer, because the market is just saturated. However, if you do fitness memes, well, that narrows your niche down a bit.
Yeah.
And then if you narrow it, so, oh, maybe you're good at cooking food. How you make fitness, nutrition, or cooking memes? Well, mm-hmm, now you have a unique niche. That's where you could grow. And it's kind of the same thing with reenactment. There are a lot of great reenactors out there. A lot of them who are far better than me, both more knowledgeable. They have better gear. They are better craftsmen. They're better educators as well. But not all of them are good at understanding how to reach a big audience in social media. Mm-hmm. And that's, for example, where I have the edge through my memes now, which makes me less of a reenactment content creator and more of a clown or a jester, as yeah, I like to call myself. But it still brings people into the hobby, right, or exposes them to the hobby, and it exposes them to history as well.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, and I'm going to come back with some more questions on that, because I do have several. Okay, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back with Ethnosynology. We're here with Arthur Hulu. I almost said Gaius Hulu. Gaius Flavius, Arthur Hulu. And is it Arthur or Arthur? How do you
well,
say
the, in Swedish? Everyone pronounces it differently. So
okay,
Arthur is the classical Swedish way to say it. But also a lot of people say Arthur. And then you have the Arthur is the English way. Then you have the dialectal name from the area where my father is from. Then it's Arthur, for okay, example. So it's kind of, yeah, everyone like says it differently. So I kind of just, I usually, it's not a super common name, especially not in Sweden. So regardless how they pronounce it, I know that they're talking about me. So I've stopped really, I don't know. I don't think I ever corrected anyone on my name in my entire life.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, David's pretty straightforward. I'll take David too. But
in Sweden, we would say David.
David?
Yes.
That's cool. I like that. I think it's Dawood in Hebrew, but yeah, I've only been called that once. Yeah. It's all cool. I should just go by David, be pretentious soon. But put the aster, the accent on the I. The style that you do, and I think what works really well, at least objectively, for me looking at it, is most of the time you are in the meme. Like, it's you in the costume, which is your brand. People recognize that. They're like, oh, it's a Gaius Flavius meme. I'm going to sit and watch, which drives the engagement. And then, like, on top of that, you're making memes, and they're, like, usually range from funny to, like, hilarious to me. Like, I'll laugh at them, and I'll send them to other friends and stuff. But my favorite's when my dad laughs, too, because it's like, okay, we both get Roman history. But, yeah, man, you're, like, I guess a comic tours, you know, comedy clubs and stuff. But yeah, I would say you're a comedian, like a jester, I guess, also works as a term. But it's just it's a funny page. It's comedic to me, which I guess is what memes are. But I don't know. How's that feel for you rather than a reenactor?
The thing is, I don't necessarily care too much about labels in that sense, because I know what I'm doing. And I know what I want to do. If people want to call it comedy or that's okay. That's up to them. But sometimes, honestly, I feel that my comedy is taking over a bit too much, because it's kind of, well, it's the feedback, of course. If I post some more informative things about, oh, here is my sword, and you get like 2,000 likes. And then I post, oh, here is Julius Caesar kissing Cleopatra. And that's like, oh, well, 20,000 likes. It's like, okay. Or here is Mark Anthony as a cat. Wow, that's 25,000 likes. It's kind of, well, and usually the more serious content is a lot more time consuming and takes a lot more effort. And I have to have the actual, even if I like dress up and do like one of these that you described earlier, where it's me front and center. I can keep my normal pants on, because you're not going to see them. I can just get into the simplest armor or whatever and just record. Not too advanced. But if I want to be out in like an environment, for example, when we're at an event or we're inside a tent, well, you have to pitch the tent, you have to put all in the tables, and you have the lighting and then everything, and you have to. So it's just so much time and effort for something that gets 10% of the likes, a video I do at home in my living room in 30 minutes max when I get home from work. So it's kind of the path of least resistance. It's an easy road to take. And I wish I could do more serious content, or more polished content rather, because I still like the comedy. I think comedy is important for the reach. And I love doing comedy, but it's just not, Well, the return of investment is very low compared to my living room skits.
And like, if you were to do more like of the time consuming, more polished content, what would that entail for you? What would that be?
That would be still similar things to what I do, but with a higher production value.
Gotcha.
So if I make a joke that is two different persons, it's not just me talking to myself with different angles. It's actually like another guy or a woman from our group.
Gotcha.
And in proper environment. So you have an actual stone wall in the background, not a green screen. And you have these environments, because that would be amazing to do, because it really also shows the hobby a bit better as well. Yeah. The reenactment hobby and the living history hobby. Because that's what the plan has been from the beginning, of course, to be a shopping window for the hobby, to potentially recruit more people.
And have you done that so far? Like, have you recruited more people to reenact?
Well, to other groups. Oh, right. Because they're like, oh, yeah, oh, I would love to try this. I would love to try this. Where can I join? Where do you live? Oh, I live in Georgia. Oh, like in Europe? No, Georgia in the US. Okay, well, that's pretty far. Well, maybe I know this group in the neighboring state. Maybe you talk to them. I don't know how many people actually, but there's some guy in Netherlands who joined, some guy in Belgium who joined the group, and they're like, I'm at my first event. Thank you for like, and it's like, so that happens from time to time. So
join a group in the Netherlands?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I put them in touch with the people I know. And so, but there are some people who are asking me, but it's like, it's a hobby that really needs a lot of input, both in terms of time and resources. So you can't just show up in your t-shirt and like, I'm a Roman now. because you have to actually go, well, it's effort and time and resources. Now, of course, if you want to join for your first, oh, you can borrow a tunic and a sword and a helmet. Like we will fix that, but we can't do that forever. And especially when we do educational stuff, like you have to know what you're talking about to be able to teach visitors and the people that visit the museums and the events. So it's kind of, you have to love dressing up as a Roman, and you have to be knowledgeable about Roman history. You don't have to know everything, mm-hmm. but you need to be interested, and you have to sacrifice time and resources for it. And I don't really teach a lot of that through my page, sadly. It's something that I want to do, but that's one of those time-consuming content things in order to show, like, okay, how do you sew your tunic? Well, then I have to sew a tunic. I do that from time to time, but I'm very bad at
sewing stuff to your stories.
Yeah, but that's just, you just see the stitches. Because I don't really show the progress a lot, which I should do. But also the Roman clothes and the from the Scandinavian Iron Age that we also do in our group, those are very simple. It's not very advanced patterns. Like it's not a 18th or 19th century frock coat you're doing.
Yeah.
It's just you're sewing bags with holes in them, basically.
Okay. That makes sense. Have you thought about like doing memes and like this, some people might find this lowbrow, I guess, but I find it funny. Like if you were to go to like, you know, wherever the nearest city is for you in your costume and like talk to people about the Roman Empire with like the street interviews seem to do really well.
Yeah.
Virally.
But that's more of a, that's more clown content than jester content.
How would you define those?
No, because I'm very particular about, it's not like I don't want my comedy to be about people laughing at me and not necessarily making the people laughing about regular people either.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Because that's not good. That's not necessarily good. Well, it can be good comedy, but it's a bit, I don't know, I'm very particular about my comedy as well. What comedy I like, and I do not necessarily want to replicate comedy that I do not myself appreciate. Some of these street interviews can be fun, mm-hmm. but it's also very, it's not really my type of content, and it's not really my type of comedy. But I do like the people who parody these kinds of content, like the Brad Podre, that was formerly known as Scumbag Dad. You know him because we made a video with him once.
Scumbag Dad. I look him up real quick.
No, that was not you. That was another guy. Sorry. But he does just get confused by all the Americans. But he does a lot of these like parodies on these like trends and street interviews and like fake content and everything. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate that, but I don't see myself doing like street interviews in Roman armor for regular people. That's not really my style at all.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's fair. There's that one guy you've done collabs with who I want to say he's either like, he does like a Scythian outfit or it's like a Seljuk thing. I'm not sure what he does. But he had this one video where he was like doing a Mr. Beast thing about sieging Jerusalem or something. I can't remember. You've done collabs with him before.
Yeah, maybe. There are a couple. I've done a couple of collabs during the... Which was the Siege of Jerusalem?
It's like the Satrap is his name or something, his account. I can't remember, but it was basically like a Mr. Beast style video, and he was in full like cosplay or, you know, reenactment armor. And he was like, I'm going to do... Maybe it wasn't the Siege of Jerusalem. I'll find it.
Yeah.
But either way, that video was a pretty high budget, like the way the camera was and how it zoomed and like the animations on top of it. So is that something you're thinking about doing? Like,
yeah, sure. But that's also time. That's also the, because I know how to do a lot of these things, mm-hmm. like in theory.
Right.
Because I've worked a bit with video editing and everything, but it's time consuming. That's my problem, because if I did this full time, I could just sit and do memes all day and high production value things. That's a whole other story, but I have, like, I work full time. I get home in the evening. I have to eat. I have to, like, fix everything. I live alone, so I have the entire household to fix for myself as well. So it's kind of, time is my restraint.
Right.
So I'm working very much on doing as good content as I can with my very limited time. And then I also have to, also the time goes to, because I also have other hobbies. And I have to keep up my relationships and friendships. And sometimes the politic things, well, it's not always a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
With evening meetings and everything. So it's kind of, I'm fighting time. And because I live in Sweden, and I'm not going to go through the house, Swedish economic freedom and works, but we have high taxes for people who do, like, or who are self-employed. Okay. So it's kind of, it's like, not everything is bad in terms of, because you can also get, like, well, it's a complicated system, because in certain ways, Sweden has very high economic freedom. And in other cases, it doesn't. So, but doing a being self-employed when you don't really have necessarily a very secure income in that sense, and you also are a small country who doesn't have all these, like, you can get the ads payment for if you get a lot of plays on TikTok or Instagram. Mm-hmm. We don't really have that in Sweden.
So you're still not getting paid for these?
No. And since I do all my content in English, and I don't have a lot of Swedish followers, there is no Swedish brand who rationally would want to work with me unless for something very specific. So I'm in a very bad place in terms of doing this as a living. I kind of do not want to do it as a living as things are now, because I'm happy with my life like it is. Yeah. But if I wanted to, then Sweden is not an optimal, or it's not bad being in, like, a content creator in Sweden, but, having a niche that Swedes do not really care about and doing it in a language that is not Swedish. And also reenactment is not, like, it's not a business like the fitness where you have 1 billion products to sell, or fashion or makeup or horse racing or gaming, like, even Lego influencers would do better than I do, because that's a product you can sell. So I picked, for a Swede, I picked maybe one of the worst niches to make money.
Do most people in Sweden speak English? I think we talked about this.
Yeah, they do. Okay. We talked about this in the last as well. And Swedes speak excellent English unless it's about business or academia. So the everyday English in Sweden is, and even you can speak English to old people, and even in the rural areas, no problem. But don't ask them for feedback on your dissertation, because that's just going to, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. But doing stuff in English doesn't get you many Swedish people, even though they do speak English.
It's mostly it gives American. Me a global audience, and that's what I want.
Right.
Because since the internet is, it's global. There is since I'm also doing something, if I was doing like, I have an account that talks about Swedish herring traditions. Well, I could make it in Swedish. Maybe some Norwegians would watch it as well, because they also love herring. But when I talk about the Roman Empire, there is a global audience. There's the Americans and people all over the world who are interested in Roman history. So there is no, unless I wanted to, like, up myself in the Swedish academia and have like a Swedish speaking ancient history content. But since I have zero interest in being a part of Swedish academia, I might as well do everything in English so I can reach a global audience.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And I'm trying to remember if we talked about this or not, but your learning of English, did that come from memes and like American media or British media stuff too?
Well, I had a very early exposure to English, and my father insisted very early on that I learn English. I read English books even as I was quite young. I remember they had the Sharp's Rifles. I read the series. I don't know if you, it's, they made it into a TV series in the 90s as well. Sean Bean is the main character. Spoiler alert, he doesn't actually die. So that's fun.
Yeah. It's good. It's a first.
But we also learn English quite early on in school.
Okay.
So, well, I speak English every day.
Yeah. And do you speak that at work, or do you only speak Swedish as in politics?
Oh, we speak, well, unless there is some international thing going on, but that's not very often. But at currently at my current job, I barely speak any English.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let's go right back to one more commercial break. And on the when I get back, I got some more questions about memes. All right. We'll be right back. And we're back with Guy Splavius, also known as Artur Hulu. Does Hulu mean something in Swedish?
It's kind of the same as the English hollow. Same, but it's usually something geographical. So it's like a deep valley or a deep forest.
Yeah.
Like a hole, basically.
Interesting. Okay. Did not know that. Is that like what the Hulu streaming service is about?
No, I think that's something else. I'm not affiliated with the Hulu streaming service.
Fair enough.
Someone said it was a Chinese word for like a small box of precious things or something. Or if that was just a coincidence, or I don't really know. Gotcha. It was in some South African dialect. It also meant elephant poop, I think. So you never know.
Yeah, fair enough. So it's hard to like ask you deep questions about memes because they're inherently like goofy. But I'm trying to think, was there any other point you wanted to bring up or talk about on here before I ask some more questions?
I think one interesting topic of memes is since it's mainstream.
Yeah.
Because when I started doing memes, it was a group effort, a very niche group effort by prosumers. The same people that were producing it were the consumers. Mm-hmm. It's the same with video games. There was a very small amount of people playing video games back in the day. Now it's a mainstream. And that does with the memes that since there are now a lot more consumers than there is producers, the tempo of memes is insane.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, we flipped the same memes for like years. You had the cheeseburger cat and Bad Luck Brian, all these reaction, reaction images, they were the same. You had Pepe the Frog, for example. That's not that's not a Trump meme from 2016. It goes way back.
Has
a lot of different iterations. And the same with the Vojax and all these things. It's just, and Spurdu Sperde, my personal favorite. So originally a Finnish meme. It's like a bear.
Okay.
Yeah, well, doesn't matter. It's kind of, the tempo is insane. So you really have to stay on track. You can't take, because sometimes I know this. So when I was younger, if you had a lot in school or it's a summer break and you're like, I take 2 months vacation from the meme pages and just focus on whatever I have to focus on. Then I get back and it's, there are a couple new memes, but they're just kind of the same. But now if you go into TikTok or Instagram and scroll the memes 2 months later, it's entirely different.
Yeah.
There are echoes of the ones who were popular 2 months ago, but there's always something new.
That's very true. It's like, it just moves so fast.
Yeah.
And like, I guess Hawk 2 is a good example. Like that took over the summer last year for like a month.
Yeah.
And then it just completely disappeared.
Yeah. You see echoes of it still, but it's, and it's referenced in other memes, but it's a dead meme. Back in the day, memes didn't really die.
Yeah. When we were in college, they were like, that was all we had.
They were just like changing form, but now memes die and they die fast.
Yeah.
So the half-life of a meme is like, I don't know. It's just insane. And that makes it very hard to keep up with. And that's also why I am so grateful to have my meme experience from the years past, because I can quickly categorize and understand memes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do these like Italian brain rot memes, I can mention a lot of them.
I don't understand those.
Kids, sometimes I talk to younger people and they're like, how do you know these memes? Because I know what memes are and I know how to categorize them and I can understand why people like them. So even though I've become a boomer in the meme field, I can pick up on the new ones pretty well. And I know where to find them. If they're like, Skibbity Toilet. I'm like, okay, what's Skibbity Toilet? I watch Skibbity Toilet. And then I try to find out, okay, why do the kids like Skibidi Toilet? Well, it's actually pretty interesting. There is a story and there are new things happening. And it's like, okay, well, Skibidi Toilet. And the other people are like, oh, I don't understand Skibidi Toilet. Well, have you exposed yourself to Skibidi Toilet? No, you haven't. You just say, oh, the memes these days, they're with... And then you okay, how did our memes, the crazy memes, look 15 years ago? They were just as brain rotty. They were just slower. And they lasted a bit longer. Just as bad and brain rotty. But we forgot about it because that was apparently the golden age of memes.
Yeah.
So
I remember like being in class teaching myself Photoshop to learn how to like make memes. Because there was like meme generators, but it always had the watermark.
Yeah.
So then I learned Photoshop and I was like, oh, you got to change the font. You got to use the impact font.
Yeah,
like,
classic impact.
Yeah. And like, it's funny. Like I owe my Photoshop knowledge to learning how to make memes because it's the most basic thing you can do. And then you had to learn layers and all that. But yeah, so like a meme expert is funny.
There will be meme archaeology in the future.
I had a meme account called Memesium Curator. I never did anything with it, but like just hiding, putting good memes there that I wanted to keep.
I have people analyzing 50-year-old memes. And they're like, oh yeah, back here, they had Ugandan knuckles. Why was Ugandan knuckles so important this January month and this year? And so like, you already have that type of content, but it's like, oh, what happened 10 years back? But since it's mainstream and has a big culture impact, you see the big brands use memes in their marketing.
That is true. They do. Yeah.
So it's an important pop cultural phenomenon as well. And people haven't really grasped that yet, that memes are mainstream.
Yeah, like you see them every day. Like my dad sends me memes like from TikTok and stuff. And I think the most fundamental change as of late, which is something I enjoyed about memes, is like, yeah, you can put like a static picture with, you know, a font on it and with background music on Instagram and it does well. But the cutout memes or like the green screen memes, like that completely changed everything because it's like now... Because before you could cut like a movie clip or a TV show clip and then just put on top like, you know, Roman legionaries discussing politics, but it's something from Always Sunny. But now you can cut that out and put it into like the Colosseum or something. And like that really upped my meme game, I guess, per se. But like, because then I was watching Tropic Thunder that one day and that scene where the guy's screaming about the, you know, the negotiating with the terrorists and stuff like that. And I did that with Matthew Perry in Japan in 1852 or whatever.
Yep.
And like that did numbers because it's just so goofy. So yeah, and you've done several of those.
I've made two of those like just this week.
Yeah.
One with Augustus and the Teutoburg Forest and one I posted earlier today about it's one of those screaming cats. And it's like when your Latin teacher wants you to translate Cicero. I have actually never translated Cicero. So I don't know. I understand that it's hard because he's kind of, have these long sentences. But that's also, I can make memes, not because I necessarily understand the topic very well, but I understand that people would like this topic. So I'm sometimes a bit of a poser in that sense because I'm not actually too invested in the topic. But
Meme do well?
Yeah, cat memes always do well.
Interesting. Okay.
It's or animals in general. There's one which I wasn't very happy with. I think I posted it last year or something, where there's just a horse like with this head like this and you had the bombastic side eye thing. Mm. I just put like a random Roman building image in the background and just when you were a horse chilling in the imperial stables and now the emperor wants to make you consul.
Yeah.
Whereas with the which is has an historical basis in allegedly Caligula threatened to appoint his horse as a consul because he was so disappointed in the incompetent senators. But that one got like thousands of likes, even though I'm just like, okay, I have no ideas today. Just make a stupid horse meme.
Yeah.
Again, with the, should I put effort into my content or should I do stupid things and get likes? But it's a balance, of course. But memes is a powerful tool to educate because even if they don't learn too much from my stupid meme, they might, okay, what actually happened here? I want to understand. Okay, this, I want to understand this meme. It has a lot of likes. It's apparently a good meme. I need to read the history. And then they expose themselves to the history.
Oh, so you look up like the meme history of like what it means, or just like look up examples of like how it works, or like the context of it?
No, more like if the, no, it's as a part of the educational process with the, because I can make stupid memes.
Right.
But in order for, and especially if they are a bit niche or a bit specific, they have to look, they have to go to Wikipedia and Google the battle, for example, or the person. And then they learn.
Oh, and they're about, learning from the meme.
Yeah, they are learning about history, not necessarily directly from my meme, but indirectly because they want to understand the meme that so many people are liking.
Gotcha. You know what? I think that's a really good point. That's probably why some of mine do really well. And those people will comment like what it means or why it's funny.
Yeah.
Or something similar. And then they learn from it. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Or if they don't fully understand it, they it does play on a loop for a second, which gives engage. Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah.
You had this one the other day where you just put bar, bar, bar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I'll put it on this camera too.
Well, but, and that's also, that has also historical, that's historical context as well, because that's why it's called barbarian, because that's how the Greeks thought.
Like the Persians spoke.
The foreigners spoke. So it's kind of, like, it has historical basis.
Yeah. And it's simple, too, because you're just standing there in costume, which is probably an old video you had.
Oh, yeah, it's from earlier this spring.
Yeah. And it just, like, that's the kind when I'm scrolling through, I nose laugh out of and just scroll again, because it's just funny. Yeah. I think I said this in the last one, but my all-time favorite you've posted, there's been many, the Cleopatra, like when you're the guard in Cleopatra and Mark Anthony's negotiations, that was funny. And then, because like the audio is funny, but if the Romans conquered Australia and it was just upside down, because it took me a second.
Yeah.
And I was like, classic, oh, that's so smart. But it's so like smart, but it's just goofy at the same time. Yeah. And it's just, it's good, man.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily very much based in any historical accuracy, because, well, it's
just an Australia.
It's
meme.
it's just an old joke about the Australia is upside down. Which is a classic boomer joke, but it is pretty good.
It is good. And then you had others too, where it was like, it was some like meme music and it's just you marching with the boys or something like that. And it was an older one you had. It was great. What's your favorite you've done? And what's your favorite kind?
Oh, I don't know. There are so many good ones that in my head are just brilliant, but then they do not get any likes because they're too niche, or they're just not. Yeah. I don't know which is actually my all-time favorite, and usually it's not necessarily the videos themselves, but the discussions going on in the comments that are the most hilarious ones.
Yeah, because you had the one comment your favorite Roman emperor, and I put Mehmet II just to be a troll.
Yeah, and people get mad.
People still get mad. Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of sometimes it's not the video themselves, and it's also kind of I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's the comments.
Yes, I don't know if I have a favorite one. I will have to scroll through all of them. And now also, since I post, I last year I decided I'll start to post every day. Like, no exceptions.
Brave.
If I know I'll be away, I'll just schedule things. But I'll post every day. I post so much, I forget what I post.
Yeah, that becomes a problem too.
So I was looking for an old video, and then I'm just scrolling. I'm scrolling back like 1.5 years, and then I thought, oh, well, this is a good one. This is a good one. Oh, I'm hilarious. Like, I forgot how fun I am.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's nice as well. And I should be able to, because I also had a project that I would take like my 10 first reels and I will remake them better with my new equipment, or everything is, because the first reels I made was when I lived in a room. Because I just had moved to the city, and I rented a room from a friend, and I had a great time living there, and it was nice. But I lived in this very small room, and what's it called? The things you have on the walls, tapestry, because that's
curtains.
No, the wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
The wallpaper had this like weird pattern. That wasn't necessarily too bad, but in the lighting, it kind of looked very weird because it won. It was a bit of a gold and some white. So there's a really, it looks very bad on video. So I would remake them in a better setting.
Yeah,
and do them better because not all of them were very good because I was experimenting with the format as well. So that would be fun to remake the early reels and then compare them as well.
I need to do that too because sometimes I just straight up repost old ones because I get 50,000 new people that haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, remaking them would be smart too. Okay. Any other thoughts on memes or any other Swedish philosophical advice for the audience listening?
No, but I kind of just, I just want to recommend people to experiment with the meme format.
Okay.
Even if it's not your thing, but there are so many trends that you can try because you will always find something that fits your content. It doesn't have to be like straight out memes, but it's, you will find new audiences and new people because it's the path of least resistance again. If you do what is popular, well, you might have to compromise a bit with your values and your principles, but life is also ever changing. And if you do not stay in touch with what's going on, it's like, okay, I'm still, I mean, people are very slow to embrace new things. And if you're an early adopter, well, things can be very hard. It's not always easy being a pioneer. And it's very hard if you do not have peers. I'm lucky to have people like you who does similar things to me that I can learn from or get inspired by or bounce ideas off. But there are still very few. And especially on the level, I don't know a lot of reenactors who post every day.
Any.
So it's kind of, you need to find your... Like find people who want to do the same thing as you and dare to be inspired and try new things because, that's how, if you want to grow and if you want people to see what you're doing, you kind of have to compromise a bit on your routine.
Yeah. And to like branch out to doing memes if you were hesitant to do them.
Yeah. It's just like memes are mainstream.
Yeah,
soon it's going to be people who do not have any grasp of memes are going to be the minority.
The boomers
might already be. So it's the future is already here, old man.
Yeah, that's true. Malcolm in the Middle. Nice. Yeah. I was going to say for anyone listening to what I sometimes do at night is I'll go through CapCut and you just like pull up the CapCut templates and just scroll and it has like different memes that you can then, and I'll sit there and be like, that's dumb. But then sometimes it will just jump out at me like, oh, Neanderthals versus humans. And then I like spend an hour doing that. Is that something you do too?
I do exactly the same thing, but I write cats in the search, in the template search bar, because I'm niched towards cats. Cause I'm personally a big fan of cats. Like I know you do dog thing. I like dogs. Yeah. I just want to say that I do appreciate dogs.
Yeah.
I just love cats more. And they also feel a bit more, they're more eccentric, I think.
Yeah.
Which usually makes them better at portraying historical characters because they're usually, the famous ones are usually very eccentric as well, so.
And they're expressive too.
Yes.
Like cats can be for memes for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other bit of advice?
No, like learn from, like steal ideas or borrow ideas because that's what memes are all about. Not necessarily like stealing things, but memes is a group effort because when I started doing memes, it was always building on other people's ideas.
Yeah.
And that's also the same thing with the TikTok trends. So, I saw another creator do this. Well, nice. Do it better or do it differently.
Right.
Or do it with another hat.
If people get upset you're doing what someone else did, they'll comment that, which only helps your engagement too.
Yeah. And if they weren't the first people to do it, because sometimes I see people, you copied my video. And I'm like, bro, this is a trend from like 4 months ago. What are you talking about? So it's kind of, and
it's my,
you can also always ask them to take you to court. And then they don't really, they don't want to take you to court because that's a lot of hassle. So then they just
over a meme.
Just see, okay, well, you can take me to court. And then they won't take you to court. So everything is fine. That's the best.
Yeah.
The best answer, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, when someone just completely takes my meme and reposts it with the same caption and everything, that will bum me out.
Yeah, because that's just stealing. And especially yeah, those so accounts who just steal from everyone and like, oh, buy my t-shirt.
Yeah,
that's I'm like, so common, okay, yeah. Well, why? Because that's parasitic behavior.
Yeah.
And I don't mind people like copying my memes or mm-hmm. do like the same thing, but with their armor or their like historical niche. That flatters me. Because then I know I did something that people want to copy. But if they straight up steal it and use it to sell some shitty product, that's just like, that's just insulting. But you can't really do anything about it because both TikTok and Instagram are very bad at enforcing these things.
This customer service is real bad too. Yeah.
So it's kind of not worth to, it's not worth the hassle. I think. So I usually mostly, it's like, I just sigh and think why, but then I go on with my day as if nothing happened.
Yeah. No, but same way, like you can't let it ruin your day kind of thing. Okay. Well, Arthur, you're welcome on the podcast anytime, both of them. I'd love to do more collabs at some point. I just got to think of how to, and caveman and Roman centurion at the same time.
We need to find, we need to do the dogs in the Colosseum.
That'll work. Yeah, we'll figure out something with that.
You just need to find the dogs, or rather dogs are not the problem because they can't really protest, but their owners might be angry if we bring them to bloody contest in the arena. So
it's very
you
true.
Never know. Do you know what country has the least animal protection laws? In terms of dogs.
Like Myanmar, probably something. It's a random place.
Yeah, let's we'll book tickets there and just go crazy. Okay. We'll all get right. canceled so hard, you know. That would be...
Yeah. Well, it'll be worth the collab.
Yeah.
We can do a Trover trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. Okay. Well, yeah, where can people find you?
I'm mainly on Instagram. I kind of gave up on TikTok because of... Well,
I don't use it anymore
because it can be shut down any day.
I think it's getting shut down tomorrow.
Trump kind of, because I have always put less effort into TikTok, and then Trump was, we'll shut everything down. And I'm like, okay, I've planned for this. Let's go. But then it was back, and I'm like, what's it called? The company that owns TikTok and CapCut,
ByteDance.
Yeah, sketchy things going on. Instagram is pretty sketchy as well when you actually look at the details. But yeah, there are degrees in the inferno.
Yeah, and as an American, I'd rather my government be messing with me than the Chinese government. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have both the American and the Chinese governments messing with me, so it's okay.
That is true. But it's Gaius Flavius on Instagram and TikTok too, right?
I have TikTok. I also have a YouTube channel, and they're not called Twitter. They're not called Twitter anymore. They're called X. There I mostly post about, I don't know, my Warhammer stuff. I don't know. There's not too much history going on.
You do love Warhammer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to end this. But yeah, anytime, man. And like, we'll think of something. Maybe if we don't have to go to Myanmar. But... yeah, man. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.